This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Everybody, remember, blasphemy is a victimless crime. This is Free Thought Radio, and I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
And this radio program is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's not of, but that's from religion. It's the largest national association of atheists and agnostics and heretics in North America. We work to maintain the constitutional principle of the separation between church and state. Besides a radio show, we publish a newspaper, Free Thought Today. You can ask for a sample at ffrf.org.
And who's the editor of that wonderful
newspaper? I happen to be.
Wonderful
newspaper.
Or you
can call 1-800-335-4021. We publish some books and sell books, and we have heretical T-shirts and bumper stickers and other kinds of accoutrements so you can advertise your non-belief. And we do a lot of litigation on the state church front.
Today, we're pleased to have a returning guest on our show, the journalist Jeff Charlotte, whose piece in this month's Harper's Magazine is making big waves. The article is called "Jesus Killed Muhammad, the Crusade for a Christian Military." Don't miss reading this 10-page expose in Harper's Magazine, and stay tuned today for our interview with Jeff Charlotte on the second half of our show.
For the rest of our broadcast, we have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We'll talk a little about famous freethinkers born in May, who include Pete Seeger, who just turned 90. We'll air one of his songs. And now we want to comment on the news.
You all know about Miss California USA's remarks last month when Carrie Prejean, is that how you say her name?
I think so.
Carrie Prejean, she used her contest question moment to criticize gay marriage in the name of her religion. Here's one of many post-contest interviews she gave in which she blamed gay judges for the fact that she was the runner-up and not the winner of Miss USA contest.
It's not about being politically correct. For me, it was being biblically correct.
And then out came the information that this handmaiden for the Christian right had been photographed in partial déshabillé, and here she is on James Dobson's radio program, From Focus on the Family, and let's hear what she has to say about that.
Why did you give the answer you did with regard to the affirmation of marriage?
Honestly, I felt as though Satan was, and I don't want to say that this person represented Satan, but I felt as though Satan was trying to tempt me and asking me this question, and then God was in my head and in my heart saying, Carrie, do not compromise this. You know, you need to stand up for me.
So the devil made her do it.
Did the person who asked the question was a gay person?
It was a gay judge, yes.
So she felt like Satan was tempting her.
She knew he was gay. He was openly gay. And she gets to keep her title, but it is kind of cool that if you make an anti-gay remark today in the name of religion, that it can be considered socially unacceptable and it can stir up some controversy.
Do you think she's going to be the next Anita Bryant?
Well, I hope not.
Of course, Anita Bryant was a little bit smart, you know. Carrie doesn't seem to be in that league. And this week in the news, we also saw the Pope go to the Mideast. He's got many Jews in Israel very upset with him because of his speech at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial. In that speech, the German Pope, Benedict XVI, also known as Joseph Ratzinger, talked about the Holocaust as if it had occurred in a vacuum. He talked about the deep compassion of the Roman Catholic Church over the millions of Jews killed. Notice the passive tense there. But he never used the words German or even Nazi. Ratzinger, der Papst, of course, was a member of Hitler's youth. He told an interviewer in the past that he was registered as a Hitler youth as part of being a seminarian, which seems to belie the Roman Catholic Church's deep compassion during World War II. The Pope was drafted into the German army after that and served in an anti-aircraft unit. Yet a Vatican spokesperson this week initially insisted the Pope never, never, never belonged to Hitler Youth, and then later he had to issue a retraction. A daily newspaper in Israel ran a cartoon showing the Pope at the Holocaust Museum looking at a photo of a group of Hitler Youth and saying, "Hey, that's me."
But here's the irony. The Pope wouldn't even enter the Holocaust Museum. He only went into the Hall of Remembrance because the museum has a plaque criticizing a Pope, Pope Pius XII, for not doing enough to save the Jews. And of course, excuse me, the Roman Catholic Church had various concordants with the Vatican throughout Hitler's reign, and masses were said for Hitler, etc. And Hitler, of course, was a Roman Catholic.
He was a very strange kind of Roman Catholic, but he was a member of the church.
Well, he has never been excommunicated, and he wrote in Mein Kampf that, quote, "Therefore, I am convinced that I am acting as the agent of our Creator. By fighting off the Jews, I am doing the Lord's work." In 1941, he said he was always and would always remain a Roman Catholic.
Earlier this year, the Pope sparked outrage among Jews when he revoked the excommunication of an ultra-conservative bishop who denies the Holocaust. The Vatican has had to do a lot of backpedaling on that one.
In other news, officials in Afghanistan are investigating the sudden sickness of 98 girls and staff at an Afghan girls' school where the Interior Ministry suspects some sort of gas poisoning that is part of a concerted religious attack against girls going to schools. We saw the tragic acid attacks last year on girl students, and this is the second such, incident of gas poisonings or some strange fumes that have closed a girls' school in Afghanistan, and they think it could be a poison gas cloud, and this is very, very disturbing.
Speaking of disturbing things, this May, the Pew Research Center released a survey showing that those who attend weekly church services are more likely than those who rarely or never attend services to believe the use of torture on suspected terrorists is justifiable. 54% of those who attend weekly religious services say torture can often or sometimes be justified, compared to 42% of those who seldom or never attend church services.
Of course, these numbers were disturbing overall because only about a quarter of the U.S. population, church going or not, felt that torture could never be justified. One in two Americans believes the use of torture can often or sometimes be justified, and I personally think that is really disturbing. But as columnist Andrew Sullivan noted, so Christian devotion correlates with approval for absolute evil in America, and people wonder why atheism is gaining in this country. And of course, my theory about this country and torture is that it's all tied up with the Christian torture symbol, which is the cross.
Like that, like Passion of the Christ movie, all that blood and gore. And,
or crucifixes. Or everywhere you go in America, you see these huge crosses that stand for a person being tortured, a suffering, writhing man on the cross. And of course, this desensitizes believers. And I think it could desensitize even non-believers who are exposed to this on a daily basis. So I think religion has a lot to answer for.
Of course, some of us think attending weekly church services is another form of torture. And finally, for some good news, a Harvard study released this month is finding that young Americans are losing their religion. Harvard University professor Robert Putnam, who conducted the research, says the percentage of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S, the none of the aboves, has skyrocketed to between 30 and 40% of younger Americans, and he called this a stunning development.
Yay! So it's great. The younger generation isn't going to have to reinvent the wheel, get indoctrinated, painfully shed that indoctrination, and it's about time.
The researchers aren't saying that all of the nuns necessarily call themselves atheists, although for all practical purposes, they are. But they are definitely reacting to the religious right. They've been turned off by religion by finding church to be a source of intolerance. This is, quote, a source of intolerance and rigidity and doctrinaire political views, unquote. Professor Putnam predicted enormous consequences for the American culture and politics for years to come.
And we invite all college-bound high school seniors, as well as currently enrolled college students who might be listening, to check out FFRF's annual student essay competition. It's been going on for 30 years. There are two different essay competitions, one for each grouping of students, and we give first, second, third place prizes. The deadlines are approaching, and you can find out about the topic and guidelines and everything you need to know at our website, ffrf.org/essays, right there on the homepage.
There are hundreds and thousands of scholarships and benefits For Christian and religious students, well, here's a scholarship program to benefit and reward non-religious, free-thinking students.
And we think at the Freedom From Religion Foundation that these scholarships and essay competitions are one of the more important things that we do because they're outreach to the next generation. Free Thought Radio will be right back to talk about famous freethinkers born in the merry month of May and with journalist Jeff Charlotte about his Harper's Magazine expose, Jesus Killed Mohammed.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Free Thought Radio over Air America. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Jerry Hedrick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio on Air America.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with the journalist Jeff Charlotte about the crusade for a Christian military in the United States.
Now it's time for the May Freethinkers Almanac, a look at famous non-believers born this month.
Non-believers born in the month of May include the playwright Lorraine Hansberry, novelists Joseph Heller, Honoré Balzac, and H.G. Wells, thinkers and reformers Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, Bertrand Russell, John Stuart Mill, Robert Owen, Alexander Pope, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Margaret Fuller, the poets Robert Browning and Walt Whitman, scientists Thomas Huxley, who coined the word agnostic, physicist Richard Feynman, dancer Isadora Duncan, and the composers Johannes Brahms, Tchaikovsky, and Irving Berlin, the actors George Clooney, George Carlin, Henry Fonda, and Katharine Hepburn.
That affects the way you lead your life, though, that conviction. I mean, if people haven't made their minds up on that
point. No, I don't believe in religion.
I don't believe in religion. That was Dick Cavett interviewing Katharine Hepburn. And we had quite an illustrious bunch this month, Dan, that you were reading. So when someone says to you there would be no art or music or humanity without religion, set them straight. You can find everything you need to know about the views of May Freethinkers at the Free Thought of the Day page at ffrf.org.
But we want to take a closer look at the folk singer and composer Pete Seeger, who just celebrated his birthday. We're a little bit late, but better late than never, in honoring Pete Seeger's 90th birthday on May the 3rd. We have an excerpt of a track from the Folkways recording of the 14th century Freethought anthem from Germany, which is Die Gedanken sind frei.
Which means thoughts are free.
We want to thank one of our listeners and an FFRF member, Lon Cipolo, for bringing this track to our attention. This is Pete Seeger singing Die Gedanken sind frei in 1968.
I've been told that this next song from Germany also originated in the peasant wars. There's some disagreement about that, but it's very possible that it could have. Die Gedanken sind frei, my thoughts freely flower. Die Gedanken sind frei, my thoughts give me power. No scholar can map them, no hunter can trap them, no man can deny. Die Gedanken sind frei, no man can deny. Die Gedanken sind frei, thoughts are free. This is a very accurate translation, incidentally, by Arthur Caves. The original line says, Es bleibet dabei, die Gedanken sind frei. I think as I please, my thoughts give me pleasure. My conscience decrees, this right I must treasure.
My thoughts will not cater to duke or dictator. No man can deny. Dig a donkey. Should tyrants take me and throw me in prison, my thoughts will burst free like blossoms in season. Foundations will crumble and structures will tumble, and free men will cry, dig a donkey.
That's Pete Seeger singing the free-thinking song, Die Gedanken sind frei. And that concludes Freethinker's Almanac. And I think you'll see where we got the music that we play for this segment.
So that was fun to hear Pete Seeger singing Die Gedanken sind frei. Dan, you and the songwriter Kristen Lenz have a version of this on Friendly Neighborhood Atheist. And Kristen's a good feminist, so she ends that refrain, no person can deny.
And free people shall cry.
And that works better with the rhythm, actually. So that since 1968, times have changed, and that is a beautiful song. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio over Air America. We're going to be right back after this longer break to speak with Jeff Charlotte, a journalist, over his breaking story in Harper's this month called Jesus Killed Muhammad, The Crusade for a Christian Military.
We had Jeff on the show last year, wasn't it?
His book about the family. And he spoke at our convention. And it's been all over the internet and all over the newspapers about the intrusion of Christianity into the military. It's a raging issue. And come back for prime source on this.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. Margaret Sanger's motto was, no gods, no masters.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And that's a little bit of Irving Berlin, by the way, who's celebrating his birthday this month in May. Our guest on today's show, a returning guest, is the journalist Jeff Charlotte, a contributing editor of Harper's Magazine and the author of a book called The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Jeff.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
It was nice to see you at our convention in Chicago last fall, where you spoke in greater depth about this whole issue.
And we are, everybody is talking about your expose in Harper's this month called Jesus Killed Muhammad. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, well, I should probably explain that kind of incendiary title. First off, the Jesus Killed Muhammad comes from the story that I lead off the article with. The article is about the problem of the fundamentalist front within the U.S. military, and it's really a growing problem, even under the Obama administration. In some ways, the sort of the starkest illustration I saw of it, or I came across of it, was an event in Samarra, in Iraq. It was a few Easters ago, and some regular U.S. Army regular guys were stationed with some special forces. The special forces team, by the way, called themselves the Faith Element, and they started off the day with a screening of Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
Oh, no.
And that replayed constantly throughout the day and the battle that ensued. They came under attack, and the special forces, their bright idea was to paint on the side of a Bradley fighting vehicle, which is essentially it's a fast-moving tank. It's not just like an armored car. It's a tank, effectively, to paint in giant letters in Arabic through an Iraqi Christian translator they had to paint Jesus Killed Muhammad. And then they rolled that out on the street. And anyone who essentially took issue with that, they turned the gun of this great big tank and blasted out. The man who drove that tank, then Lieutenant John DiGiulio, told me that he laid waste to an entire block of residential houses. He's since been promoted to captain. He said he was able to come through that day alive. He didn't seem to give much credence to the fact that he came through that day alive because he was driving a tank through a residential neighborhood, and he wasn't really in as much danger as the people on the other end. He thinks he came through alive because watching the Passion of the Christ had spiritually armored him and prepared him for battle.
It more likely inured him to torture. I mean, that movie makes you think there's torture is a natural thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's very relevant, Dan, in light of the recent studies from the Pew Charitable Trust that show that American evangelicals, on average, are more comfortable with the idea of torture than Americans of other religious faiths or no faith.
We talked about that earlier in the show today.
It does seem, I mean, my gosh, it's what a way to be totally desensitized.
But to drive a tank, that's a holy war then. It's a religious assault from one religion to another.
It really is. And that was what, you know, I started this story about a year ago, and Mikey Weinstein and his Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which many of your listeners are probably familiar with, and Mikey came to me and said, look, this is a problem. And because I write a lot about fundamentals, and he wanted me to write something about it. And at first, I have to admit, I was skeptical, partly because I had been a journalist covering the military years ago, and I hadn't seen much of this. And this was what he was describing was so over the top, I just couldn't believe it was real. But then as I spent a year researching this, going around, I went to West Point, to Air Force Academy, to Annapolis, to Fort Riley, interviewed over 100, did over 100 interviews with active duty military personnel around the world. I saw that the problem was very real. And what was interesting was, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, at the top, we had Bush before, who seemed to think of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as religious wars. And now we have Obama, who I don't think we may take issue or not take issue with his foreign policy, but I don't think anyone thinks he's doing this out of some kind of religious crusade. It doesn't matter because so many of the troops on the ground and the officers, and that's really what's frightening about this is concentrated in the officer corps, they are waging it as a holy war, driving tanks to say Jesus killed Muhammad, or as Lieutenant Colonel Bob Young at Kandahar Air Base in Afghanistan bragged to me about giving presentations to the Afghan warlords with whom he was doing business, explaining to them that America was based on this idea of Christianity, and that democracy is essentially a Christian concept. And if they want democracy, they're going to have to embrace this kind of religious view. That's a holy war.
So these are really true believers, and there's an awful lot of them, and they're in positions of power, and they have guns in their hand, and they're in our military.
Exactly. And, you know, you make an important point there, Dan, when you say they're positions of power. I think right now, for instance, some of you listeners may be familiar with Al Jazeera has released some video footage of a chaplain in Afghanistan distributing Bibles in Pashto and Dari, two languages spoken commonly there, to be distributed to Afghans. I mean, so this is breaking military rules. This is just bad news.
We played some of that on last week's show.
Exactly. And I think there's an inclination. The military has already said, well, that's a bad apple. When I spoke to the Pentagon, they said, you know, we've only had 50 cases of religious discrimination in the last 3 years, which is a funny statistic because they'd been saying that for about 5 years. So they're not really updating it. And I said, but I said, look, I can lay out before you through my interviews alone far more than 50 instances. This is a pervasive problem, and it's not a fringe problem because, as I say, it's concentrated in the officers. Really, there's one particular group that's especially important, I think, called the Officers Christian Fellowship. 15,000 members. And, you know, some
15,000,
of the leaders...
15,000, that's a lot.
15,000 at 80% of major U.S. military facilities around the world. The leadership includes guys like General Bob Caslin, who is one of 10 division commanders in the Army. General Robert Van Antwerp, who violated military regulations to appear in uniform at Billy Graham rallies and Trinity Broadcasting Network rallies, and say that to brag that under his command 700 troops had been baptized in Iraq and that he was on a mission to raise up a godly army.
That's what our tax dollars are doing in Iraq, baptizing.
Baptizing. Well, now, look, I should say, you know, I mean, this is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Of course, we also believe in freedom of religion. If you want to get baptized on your own time, with your own business, that's... and you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. That's
well,
nothing.
You know, Robert Ingersoll said with soap, baptism is a good thing.
Exactly, exactly. And I can imagine that you know, you're out there in the hot desert and someone comes along with a cold pool of water,
right,
and you'll say, I'll take that baptism. But what you have here is you have officers coercing, you know, the troops underneath them into accepting this religion. I spoke to one young man back from I think his second or third tour of Iraq, and he described situations where they would lose a soldier in their unit. A colonel would come around and say, "Well, now is a great time for you all to accept Jesus because I think you've seen what's at stake." And that to me is the ugliest betrayal of that commander's own troops possible. I mean, that's what's really happening here is these officers are betraying the troops who are serving underneath them.
So they're literally trying to scare the hell out of these soldiers.
Exactly. Well, it's an old favorite tactic, and you see it you see it being played out throughout the military. There's a colonel in the Al Jazeera video. There's a portion of that video that I write about that actually Al Jazeera didn't show. It's a great filmmaker named Brian Hughes, who had actually set out to make a positive documentary about chaplains. He'd been in the first Gulf War. He'd had a good experience with a chaplain. He's not a religious person, but the chaplain had counseled him, done what a chaplain is supposed to do. So he set out to make this positive video, and what he saw was so disturbing, there was no positive video to be made. Instead, he makes this documentary. And some of the footage that Al Jazeera didn't show reveals Lieutenant Colonel Gary Hensley, who was at the time the top military chaplain in Afghanistan. He is leading a service. You can't see it in the video that you saw in Al Jazeera, but he's wearing a T-shirt that has a map of Afghanistan with a cross over it, as do the troops in the pews. This is part of an organization called Chapel Next. And what he goes on after talking about how we have to hunt down men for Jesus, just like the Special Forces hunts down, he goes on to say, apocalypse is coming. It's coming very, very soon. It's that old scare the hell out of you tactic. He says it may be coming before we get to the mess hall tonight, so we have got to be ready. We are here on a mission. And then, and this is the part that just galls me, he says, we are the new Israel. The U.S. military is the new Israel, which is disturbing on almost too many levels to count.
Well, I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're talking with journalist Jeff Charlotte about the chilling infiltration of the U.S. military by the Christian right, and we'll be right back to finish our conversation with him.
Hi, my name is Herb from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Geller. And if you're just tuning in, we have on the phone with us Jeff Charlotte. That's S-H-A-R-L-E-T. Jeff Charlotte's on the phone with us from New York, and we're talking about his big report in this month, the May issue of Harper's Magazine, called Jesus Killed Muhammad, the Crusade for a Christian Military.
So, Jeff, since this is broken, it's been really big news. Have you gotten any reaction on responses from the Obama administration on this, for example?
No. You know, one of the things, I began this article about a year ago, and then I'd hoped to publish it, actually, to get it done. There was just so much to look at that ended up going on. And then Obama's elected, and I thought, gosh, is this going to be relevant? And Mikey Weinstein in the Military Religious Freedom Foundation even had some communication with the Obama administration. There was some interest in what they were talking about. There was talk of courts-martials, the proper way to say that, for some of these commanders who had been essentially violating their oaths and betraying the troops. And so there's really high hopes that things were going to change under the Obama administration. And then at a certain point, this was after the election, it was just the line went dead, effectively. And Mikey Weinstein is pretty clear about what happened, they just decided not to pursue that avenue. I think the Obama administration has decided to really ignore this problem. You see that most plainly in the fact that some of the worst offenders Mikey and his foundation thought were going to be thought would be given the boot have been held over. You know, and really at positions very top, like Secretary of the Army Pete Guerin, who appeared in a video for a fundamentalist organization called Christian Embassy, really crossed the line, gave official state endorsement of their very particular brand of fundamentalist Christianity. Seven flag officers were, in fact, rebuked for their appearance in the video. This is a guy who has fallen down on the job, and Obama decided to keep him on.
Well, he kept on Gates, didn't he?
He kept on Gates.
He's got the same guy.
I mean, Gates is no fundamentalist, but yeah, I mean, I think what he, you know, what we've really seen is it's a little bit, it's as if Obama's copying a strategy from Hosni Mubarak, the dictator of Egypt, who for a long time is a secular, I'm not saying Obama's a dictator, don't get me wrong, but he's secular. That's the important case, and the Muslim Brotherhood is very strong there. And so what Mubarak eventually did was he bought peace with the fundamentalist front in Egypt by just leaving them certain parts of society that they were theirs to run.
Well, how is Obama going to buy peace in the Middle East? He's got a big speech coming up in Egypt, and if the people are seeing our military as a crusade, how is that going to calm down the Muslim world?
You know, it's an astonishingly naive strategy. That's the interesting thing about it. I mean, it really suggests to me that there's no one in the Obama administration who really understands fundamentalism and evangelicalism, and we see that, you know, in their faith-based team, which is right now holding over Bush-era regulations on allowing discrimination and so on, that they're constantly making this move as if to say that all kinds of fundamentalists are just an extreme fringe, and they're constantly surprised when fundamentalism reveals itself to be a fairly powerful movement. And you know, the most clearest example is, I think Obama keeps on saying these sort of moderate-sounding things about abortion, and then the administration seems stunned when the anti-abortion crowd says, that's nice, but we don't care, and we're still going to fight you every step of the way. It's what he hasn't understood is that they actually believe what they say they believe.
Maybe Rick Warren at the inauguration got to him and said, hey, lay off on us evangelicals.
You know? That's, you know, it's not just Rick Warren. Those voices are really coming from within the Democratic Party right now as well.
You said that the Air Force Academy is turning into a Christian seminary? What do you mean by that?
I think it has been for several years. You know, this the whole issue came to light when Mikey Weinstein, who's sort of the hero, the good guy, the heart of my story, I call him the constitutional conscience of the military, his two sons were at the academy, and they're Jewish, and were exposed to some really pretty severe anti-Semitism. And Mikey's no liberal activist. He's a former Reagan lawyer, academy grad himself.
But he worked in the Reagan White House.
Yeah, exactly. He took on this fight, and the Air Force Academy, the general who was in charge then, said, you know, it's true, the problem is throughout the institution. It's going to take 6 years to restore constitutional principles to the Air Force Academy, which is the most elite war college in the world. And well, that general says it's going to take 6 years, and then he promptly threw up his hands and left. Well, they brought in a guy who I spoke to named General John Regney, and General John Regney was supposed to solve the problem. I asked Regney, I said, you know, here you are trying to solve this problem. How do you see... how do you interpret the First Amendment? And he said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. And I actually read it to him. He said, I'm going to have to write down those constitutional things. I read the First Amendment to him. He huddled with two colonels, his top chaplain and his top PR guy, and they decided to pass on the question.
He didn't know about the Establishment Clause or the Free Exercise Clause.
I was interested in how he saw the balance of it. I thought that would be a natural thing. You know, for a regular person, you don't know the text of the First Amendment, well, you know, be a better citizen. Go learn it. But for a general who has sworn an oath to defend this on his life and who has been put in charge of training the most elite warriors effectively in the world, the people who are going to have their fingers on the triggers of the most powerful weapons in the history of mankind, this is really disturbing. And you saw that effect trickle down throughout the academy. I spoke to cadets all the time who were saying, well, did you know that separation of church and state is not even in the Constitution?
Yeah, boy. Now, we have to interrupt to plug your new book, but you have The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power coming out in paperback this month, and you were telling us you're a co-editor of a new book.
Yeah, it's called Believer Beware, First Person Dispatches from the Margins of Faith, and There are some chapters in it that Freedom From Religion Foundation folks and might find unsettling, because there's some religious writers in it, but there's a lot of folks who, it's a lot of sort of, I was gathering stories, I was interested in the way that people leave orthodoxies behind. And so that's all the stories, and it's about people who are abandoning orthodoxies, abandoning received wisdom. And I'd worked with several other folks, my friend Peter Manso, and the editors of a website called killingthebuddha.com that I've been working on for
and
years.
And the new book is coming out when?
That's coming out July 1 from
July 1.
Lincoln Press.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you so much. We've been talking with author and journalist Jeff Charlotte about his piece in this month's Harper's, and you can purchase Jeff's book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power, at ffrf.org. And thank you so much for joining us today, Jeff.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Annie.
Go to our website, ffrf.org/radio, if you want to hear any of these archived for downloading, or you can sign up for a podcast. Go to iTunes and put in Free Thought Radio as a podcast.
We encourage you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You can get a sample of Free Thought today by phoning 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org. Don't just listen, become active, and join us next week
for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.